Getting people to sign up for a conference or an event is an art and a science. You have to persuade them to do so. The good news is academics have been studying the science of persuasion for decades, and we can learn a lot from their experimental findings. Hi Kelvin, welcome in our studio.
Hello.
We are going to talk about persuasion of people and the science about it, but then I'm already lost. Help me out. What is it about?
Well, I think one of the things that's really important for event planners to realise is that no matter what their job is, no matter what the type of event it is they're planning, ultimately they're trying to persuade people to do things. And normally that's persuade them to sign up or give money or become a sponsor or any other variety of different things. And once you kind of understand that actually a lot of our jobs are about persuading people to do things that you want them to do, that kind of gives us a slightly different way of thinking about what our job entails. And the good news is that there's a huge amount of academic research and even kind of popular business books written about the act of, you know, the art of persuasion, the science of persuasion. If you can understand, it makes planning events quite a lot easier to do.
And can you give some tips, some advice on how to do that in the event planning industry?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the ideas that's really, really good to get your head around is this idea of scarcity. Yeah. And there's kind of this, you know, the idea that something that is hard to get hold of, the person who then gets hold of it has a greater value of that. And okay. You know, what does that then entail? Well, I run a free event or a series of free events, and a lot of free events in the conference space, you know, there's kind of almost infinite supply of the tickets that are available. They want, you know, to get as many people through the door as they possibly can, because the more people that they get through the door, the greater that they can charge their sponsors. But the problem then is that people don't actually really value coming to your event. You get a much higher dropout rate, and people, you know, don't necessarily value the content, the show, the event that you're putting on. So what we try to do is kind of go, well, how can we make those scarce? And it's kind of actually, we'll limit the number of tickets that we do. We'll, you know, try and make sure that the people who get hold of the ticket appreciate that other people missed out. You know, a sellout is really, really good. And I mean, I see kind of the opposite of that all the time, particularly in award ceremonies where they're always extending the date of entry. And that's kind of doing the opposite. You're showing that actually you don't need to hit that deadline. You don't need to register early to get into this event, because actually it's, you know, not so valuable.
But do the same laws apply to paid events, because you're now talking about free events?
Yeah, I mean, I think exactly the same as well, because, I mean, you've got a slightly different dynamic there, in so much as, you know, because they're paid for, don't necessarily get that oversubscribed. You know, the oversubscription is a little bit hard to achieve, but it's still exactly the same, because people are paying money for it. If it can be something, you know, you see people queuing up to get the latest console when it's launched, or the latest iPhone when it's released, and that's because there's scarcity and there's value in getting that thing that's hard to get hold of. So try and think about ways that you can limit your demand. But another one that's really interesting about pricing is this idea of anchoring. So anchoring is the idea that, you know, the studies that kind of set this up would be, if you kind of say, you know, if you ask two groups of people how many sweets are in this jar, yeah, and they have to guess how many sweets are in the jar. Now, if you, with one group, you say, first, is there 500 sweets in the jar, more than 500 or less than 500 sweets in the jar, and then ask them how many sweets are in the jar. Take another group and say, are there more than 250 sweets in the jar, and then ask them the same how many sweets in the jar question. The people that have the 500 generally guess higher, because they've anchored that is kind of, they've set the expectation of what that should be.
And how do you translate that principle into the event industry?
Well, I mean, sometimes it can be, one thing that we've done is, you know, we've got a free event, we've got pay for ticket options on there as well. We have an additional option, which we kind of call our jokingly super awesome ticket, but where it's deliberately priced high. And we know that we're not going to sell many of those tickets, you know, the super VIP service. And in fact, the ticket's there not because we want to sell them, but to make some of the other pay-for options look less expensive, as it were. So that's okay. One way to do anchoring. And the other one is as well, if you have an early bird price, this is a really, really simple one to do. If you've got an early bird price, show the price that it's going to be and then have it kind of crossed through, if you see what I mean. So when you've got a reduction or a discount in place, show what the price was before. And simply by doing that, suddenly then you're giving this perception that actually it is cheaper now than it was before. So people can get that anchoring and that sense of what we've got on there as well.
Okay. I also read something about loss aversion. How does that principle work?
Yeah, I mean, I think loss aversion is similar to the kind of idea of the scarcity. And basically something that with loss aversion, people tend to feel the value of loss more than they feel the value of gain. Mm-hmm. So kind of utility is this idea they talk about. So actually losing $5 or €5 is worse than, you know, in terms of impact on your, than the benefit of getting five. So actually we feel the impact of loss a lot more. So some of the ways you can think about doing that is again around the scarcity thing. So how do you get people to feel that they're missing out on something? And sometimes that's good in terms of writing your email copy or writing the copy for your website, where you're talking about what people are going to miss by okay. not coming rather than what they're going to get by coming.
Okay, that's an interesting thought to build up your marketing with. Maybe the last one is also an interesting one. It's about decisions you already made in the past, how they influence your decisions right now.
Yeah, so that's kind of this idea of choice supportive bias. And with all of these ideas I've been talking about, there's great Wikipedia pages going towards them as well. And there's a really good book called Predictably Irrational. And choice supportive bias is this one here, where what we tend to do is we think the decisions we've made in the past are better than perhaps they were. So at the point in time, it might have been quite an emotional decision. It might have been driven by discount. It might have been kind of a random decision where we, you know, tossed a coin effectively in our head. But then after that point in time, we tend to believe that we made a really rational, sensible decision. Now, some of the ways that this can work in events is actually having to get someone to agree to do something small. You know, having to get them to make a small purchase. Because once they've made that small purchase, they'll often think that you're better in the future. So that can be a kind of, you know, can you do an online event to get people to go to a webinar first? Can you get them to sign up for a free download a white paper? Because then they'll believe that they made that decision quite rationally when they then come to choose which would be the best event to attend in a B2B conference. Or in a kind of, you know, if you're running a consumer business, how can you get someone to believe that you're the expert in that area? And that's a good place to start. And people, if you can make them get that small first yes, they'll tend to favour you and make decisions in your favour down the line, even if indeed that first decision was kind of quite a light-hearted or quick decision that they made.
And you try those principles yourself in the events you organise?
Yeah, I mean, with all of our events, it's kind of, we try to build them around these principles. I think scarcity is the one that we use most frequently. But also we do use the anchoring, so we kind of have this super expensive ticket option, which we sell maybe one or two tickets for. But it does make our mid-price tickets seem a lot more affordable than they would do when that option wasn't there. And then also the choice supportive bias, we're all lagging that first initial buying, getting someone to come to our first event. We take a huge amount of effort in getting people to attend one of our first events or to make the first sponsorship deal for one of our conferences, because we're then confident that afterwards they'll continue to attend in the future and continue to sponsor again in the future as well.
Kelvin, I really want to thank you for sharing these tips with our audience.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed sharing it.
And you at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next time.